Sunday was the first Sunday of Lent, and I think the youth actually did an excellent job of helping us to think about what it means to be the church, to be the body of Christ, particularly as they reflected on Micah 6:8, and one of my favorite passages as well, and one of them that I think is the most challenging for us when we think about what it means to be the people of God. When we're called upon to do justice and to love mercy, because quite often, at least in my mind, I have images of justice and mercy being on those opposite sides of the scale, with justice and the blind statue holding the scales up. And how can you be loving justice and mercy at the same time? They seem like opposites, and yet God calls upon his people to be just and merciful as well. And I think the third point in that passage is probably what makes it possible for us, that we walk humbly with God. I think it's when we're walking humbly with God that we can be in that position to see what God is doing and how God is leading as we encounter those situations and events in life and in the world around us, and recognize the ways in which we can be both just and merciful at the same time. Well, as we continue in this season of Lent, we pick up with the theme that Curtis and I are going to be touching on as we go through this season. And the series, it's not a real flashy title, but Living Our Baptismal Calling. That as Christians, we put ourselves in a position of being different. That it is through baptism that we are marked, that we are set apart, that we are declared to be God's children. And it is through baptism that we become a part of the church. Not this church, not a particular church, but we become a part of the body of Christ, the church universal. And it's through baptism that we are washed and cleansed, and we become the people of God, and we're sent forth to live a new life. And so as we think about some of the things that baptism, particularly in our tradition as Methodists, I encourage you, we're going to be looking at this as we receive new members, but Curtis often tells you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to do it with the Bible in one hand and the hymnal in the other. But if you turn to page 34 in the front of our hymnal, you'll see some of the liturgy that we use during these services, and actually we'll be using this morning. But the top of page 34, it says, "On behalf of the church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?" So in this journey that we're on as Christians, this journey that begins with baptism, we talk about it, repentance being a turning from an old way, that we repent of sin, we repent of the wrongdoings in our lives, we repent of those things, and repent literally means to turn. That we turn away from all of the things that are mentioned there, the evil powers of this world, spiritual forces of wickedness, the sin in our lives, we repent and we turn away from those. The word that they use in there is renounce. Do you cast those away and say no to those things? Because quite often as Christians, we have in mind that there are things that we affirm. There are things that we believe. There are things that we stand for, and those are good things. Whether it is a creed or an affirmation, simply saying Jesus is Lord and saying, yes, I believe it. It's important for us to believe things. It's important for us to have those things that we say, yes, these are important. But it's as equally important at times for us to be known for the things that we say no to. And in some ways, it might be a little bit harder for us at times. We find this morning in that passage of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, some of the things that Jesus said no to. Some of the things that Satan presented before him to tempt him. And Jesus said, no, I'm not having that. What do we say no to as Christians? What do we say a firm, absolute, definitive no? That will not be a part of my life. because of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of different ways that people look at these temptations Jesus faced. The first one being human need. He was in the wilderness. He was hungry. He'd been fasting. Satan said, "Hey, turn these rocks into bread." And Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to go for this. Scripture says I shouldn't test God." Satan takes Jesus to the top of the temple and says, "Hey, throw yourself down. Scriptures say that the angels will lift you up and you won't even strike your heel." And again, Jesus says, "No. I'm not in it for the flash. I'm not in it to draw attention. I'm not in it, again, to test God." And finally, Satan says from the top of a mountain, "Look upon the land. Everything you see will be yours if you bow down to me." Power. Alluring temptations. Meet your own needs. Impress people. Have wealth and power and prestige. Those are the temptations that people face, and yet we see by his example Jesus saying, "No, those aren't a part of the life that I live." And as Christians, I think we're called to say no to similar things. But for us, the temptations are going to be different. The temptations are going to be unique to each of us. Where are your fleshly desires leaning and pulling you toward? Which of those do you think, "Boy, that one, you know, I can take it or leave it with the bread and having all of my comforts met. But boy, that power and everybody looking up to me, that's one that I might be struggling with." Or it could be something much more simple. It could be that it's relationships that are not healthy that draw us in. It could be spending too much time in addictive behaviors, whatever they may be. Gambling, alcohol, drugs, food. There are so many different things that can fall into those categories that they pull us in and control our lives. And ultimately, when we say no, what we're saying is, I will not let these things have control over me. Because the only thing that should have control over our life is the God who has called us to be his people. So we renounce these things and we say no to them. Retired bishop and pastor Will Willimon was talking to a group of people from a church that he'd served, and he once asked them, what can I do to have a bigger impact in this church and in the world?" And a woman sitting in the group said, "You know, the best thing you could do is preach a sermon that has such an impact upon our children that they come to the season of Christmas not with a wish list in their hands, but rather a list of things that they say, 'No, I don't want these.'" To turn their hearts from that want to the, "No, I don't want this. I can live without this. I don't need this." Because as a society in this country, we're taught and conditioned to consume, to want, to need, to desire more. And as Christians, at times, we're going to be called upon to say, "No, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life." And so this season of Lent, we turn to this passage of Jesus. And at times, I think it's because, well, Jesus fasted and Lent's a season of fasting, so those must go together. But I think it's much more important than that. I think it's much deeper than that. Because it's not just about fasting. It's not just about sacrificing and giving something up for the sake of giving something up. It's about the renouncing and saying no to certain things. To pushing back in our lives and saying, "I need this out of here right now. Because I need to make some more space. I need to make some more time." Now, Maybe you've heard this expression. It originated with Aristotle, but it was a theory in physics for years that says nature abhors a vacuum, that in the absence of something, other things will creep into that space. Have you ever planted a garden? Have you ever had it weeded and perfectly cleared out except for the things you wanted there, and then gone on vacation for a week? When you come back, that vacuum of where you had cleared that, things creep in. Or if it's like at our house, the refrigerator is usually pretty packed. And I believe my children conspire against me in this, that I'll get up and I'll start packing lunches and I'll get things out and have stuff on the counter, and I'll be making their breakfast, and I'll go to put the butter back, and the space where the butter had just been a few minutes ago is gone. And I have to rearrange things to get it back in there. It happens in my closet. It happens in our pantry. That when there is space, even when you spent time clearing things out, things creep back into them. Well, the thing about this season of Lent is that I think that that idea of nature abhorring a vacuum is true in our spiritual lives as well. That even when we're disciplined, even when we say no, I'm not going to spend time doing this, I'm going to sacrifice and give up something I like, this particular food or something that I'm going to remove from my life, simply removing it creates a vacuum. And we may be faithful going through that season of Lent of pushing it back and pushing it back, but it's kind of like when you're at the beach digging a hole in the sand and it keeps falling back in. That Lent, really, if that's all we're doing, becomes a struggle of pushing the sand out of the hole. And thankfully, it's only 40 days long, because after 40 days of pushing sand out, we're done, we're tired. And what has it accomplished for us? But as we see Jesus in his time of saying no to Satan, when we get to the end of that story, it says that angels came and ministered to him and waited upon him. Jesus spent time saying no so that God could fill him. As we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin, what we are doing is saying no to those things that we want to get out of our lives and making more room for God, which becomes that next part. If you still have that hymnal in front of you, the next question that is asked, do you accept? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Once we've done that work of clearing out our lives like we do a closet or the refrigerator, once we've pushed those things back and said no to certain things, we then need to take the next step and accept. We need to accept what God would fill our lives with. That when we clear that space out, it's not so that we can have more clutter and junk and garbage come back in and fill it. We can't allow nature to abhor that vacuum and shove something into our life that maybe is just as bad as the stuff that we got rid of, or at least just neutral. What good, blessed things do we need to allow God to then bring into our lives? So when you observe a Lenten discipline, when you say no to certain things and create that space in that room, what do you do with that time? Do you spend it with God? Do you invite God to direct you in a way that allows you to use that time and that space to be filled with serving others, of praying, of reading and reflecting upon his word? Maybe it's to just simply go and sit and be with someone who's ill, someone who can't get out, to visit a friend you haven't seen for a while that's in a nursing home? To go and knock on the door of a neighbor and say, hey, would you like to come over for a cup of coffee? I don't really know you that well. There are ways in which we can become more the people that God is calling us to become more the church that God is calling us to be, when we renounce and say no, to carve out that space and ask God to fill it with something that will bring us closer to Him and closer to one another. It doesn't need to be hours on end spent reading the Bible. Not that that would be a bad thing. But don't think of this as something that God is doing to burden you and weigh you down. Think of this as something that God is doing to make you more alive. So through this season of Lent, may you live out your baptismal calling. May it not only be a living out, but something that contributes to and gives you life. The abundant life that Jesus Christ declared. Amen. All right, keep your hymnals out, because that's where we're turning to next this morning. We've got a number of people who have participated in the new member class that I just completed. I'm going to invite them to come forward. I'll read down the list. Not all of them are necessarily going to be in this service this morning, though I think a number of them are. I had told all of the individuals that to just attend the service that they would normally attend, and I'll be reading down all of the names. So if I read your name, I want to invite you to come forward now. Fred and Martha Chatfield. Steve and Sharon Enright. Russell Brower and Donna Brower. Roxy Deer. Mary Ann Dietlein. Betty Reebsomer. And Kenyatta Cox. I want to invite all of you to just kind of form a line up here and turn and face the congregation. I have appreciated the opportunity to begin getting to know some of the people that are up here in front of us this morning, and you may know some of them already. Fred is with us. Martha is unfortunately under the weather, and I thanked him for allowing her to stay at home and not share whatever has her weighed down. Fred recently retired about 6 months ago, I guess, from Kettering United Methodist Church in Dayton, Ohio, and he was the minister of music there, and so you may have seen him in here practicing on the organ, because he took a break from it, but has wanted to make sure he keeps his skills up. Steve and Sharon Enright. Sharon retired from the Ohio schools, and they had been living in Columbus, but her mother is Aileen Githens, so they've moved here to be a little closer to her, and Steve is in the process of looking for a job here in this area right now. Russell and Donna Brower. Russell is transferring his membership here from Newcastle First. Is that Hagerstown? Hagerstown First. I'm sorry. Hagerstown First, where he had been a member for many years. Donna is actually retired United Methodist clergy, and so as United Methodist clergy, we don't have membership in a local church. When we become clergy, we become a member of the annual conference, so while she will be here and connecting with our church, she's a member of the conference and not allowed to be a member of the church, but we'll treat her as one anyway. Roxy Deer, I think many of you probably know Roxy. Roxy's grown up here and works at IU East as a student coach and counselor. Is that right? Okay. And so she plays in the handbell, so maybe you've seen her up front, but we're glad that she is deciding to say, you know what, I want to continue to remain connected here. Marianne Dietlein. Marianne works in the advertising department at the Palladium Item, and she and her fiancé Springer, Springer's back here, if you could wave. Springer went through the membership class with us and said that he wasn't ready at the moment, but Marianne said, yes, I want to move forward with being a member. They are actually getting married on the first weekend in June. Pastor Curtis will be officiating their wedding, so we look forward to seeing all of those wonderful things happening in their lives. And finally, I'd mentioned Betty Reeb-Somer, and Betty is transferring here from Connersville first, where she'd been very involved and was one of their musicians down there, and we're grateful that you were able to share your talents with us this morning as well. So if you'll join along with us on page 33 on the liturgy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price.
Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
So, friends, I present to you this morning all of the individuals that I've named and that stand before you now.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, you may respond, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Yeah. I will. Okay.
And to the congregation on the top of page 35, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, you respond, I will.
We're on page 38. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Page 39.
the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Would you join me in welcoming our new brothers and sisters in the church? Thank you and welcome. All right, we'll invite you to take your seats, and we continue our worship through the celebration of the sacrament of Holy Communion.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.